Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
And I'm so thankful. The little children came up and said, I remember when we were in your nursery. And I'll be honest, Miss Krista Rose, I don't remember that far back. But she remembered when she was in the nursery with her mom. And I tell you what, I would love to recruit these kids into our choir. They sing, and they sing loud, and I like that. Never stop singing loud,
amen.
Children, for the Lord. Lift up your voice and sing unto the Lord as long as He gives you breath. And Miss Leah, I tell you, the piano was beautiful today, and I mean that, and it prepared my heart for worship, and she has really greatly improved on the piano, and the Lord has been so good. We give God all the glory, don't we?
Amen.
And the thanks, but it was a blessing today, and I mean that. And I thank God for this church. You know, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. He was talking about Himself, not Peter, the great foundation stone, Christ, the solid rock. He was saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. Not on you, Peter, the little stone, the little pebble, but upon Christ, the solid foundation. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm here to say today, I want to thank God for the local New Testament church.
Amen.
And that God's design and God's purpose and plan. You see, the Great Commission was not just given to the pastor.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
The Great Commission, Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Hey, that was given to the church.
Amen.
If it was given just to the apostles, then it would have died out with the apostles. But the church lives on. Thank God. The church triumphant.
Amen.
And you're part of a good local church that preaches and teaches the blessed Bible. And I'm thankful for that. And people say, well, what's the difference between this? There's a Heinz 57 flavors of religion out there. What's right? What's true? I'll tell you what lines up with this blessed book right here.
Amen.
With the Word of God, the doctrines in the Word of God. So we base everything, and we believe the Bible today.
Amen.
And we're Bible-believing Baptist. And thank God that there was a man sent from God whose name was John.
Amen.
And that was John the Baptist. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And it's wonderful to know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walked a long ways. I don't know, I've read somewhere, brother, 30 miles, 50 miles, to get a Baptist baptism. Jesus walked. See, that authority was passed down from God, from Jesus, and to John the Baptist. And Jesus identified with John the Baptist.
Yes,
he didn't get baptized from John the Presbyterian or John the Catholic or John the Methodist, but John the Baptist. He identified. But that's not the only reason we're Baptist, is because Jesus was baptized from John the Baptist. Hey, we're Baptist today because we believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And the doctrine there. So, and you ought to know what you believe.
Amen.
We ought to believe the book, and we ought to know why we believe it. And you know, I thank God you have a pastor that likes to study. And I'll be honest, he knows a lot of the Word of God, probably a lot more than I do. I'm still in the process. I'm still growing. But I'm thankful that you have a pastor that claim 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided, dividing the word of truth. And you know, that's my desire. And if you have a church, you have a local pastor that believes this book like you do, you ought to thank God You ought to praise God, because there's a lot of people who are in places. I don't call them a church. I don't. There's a difference between a crowd and a church. You see, we can have... I saw a sign near our area. It said, come join us. We're going to have Bible and beer. And you know what? They got a crowd. Bible and this. But you know what? Just because they're a crowd doesn't mean that they're a local New Testament church. And so you have one here. And you have the Bible. And you have a pastor that loves you. And a pastor's wife. And so I just thank God for this place. And don't ever change. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I know the best days. I just believe that with all my heart. The best days are yet to come. Amen. And so today, missions. Hopefully, I'll just obey the Lord and say what He says. By the way, that's what I try to do when I preach. Amen. I try to just say what He says.
Amen.
And if you just continue down that path, you'll be fine. But I want to talk to you today for a little while about this salvation. So let's go to Romans chapter 1. Let's open the Bible and go to Romans chapter 1. And if you're able to stand, I'd appreciate you standing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I love to hear the people read out loud the Word of God. And I wonder if you could read out loud with me. Verse 16, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And let's all read it out loud together. Everybody ready? Let's read out loud. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a privilege of coming. How I need you, Lord, today to speak to these good people. Father, the influence. Thank you for the ones that have already been saved, Lord. Thank you. They've come under that great salvation. It's wonderful to know that we're saved. I'm thankful today, Lord, for your grace. And that one day I placed my faith in you for salvation. Amen. And for my dear wife and for this dear pastor and his family. And now, Lord, his sheep, I pray that you would use this message as you see fit. We humbly come before you and ask you to fill me with your Spirit to do a work for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Paul was not ashamed of this gospel. And you know, there's power in the gospel. That word, power, dynamite, dunamis, it has the power. And if we take that gospel, I picture in my mind a bow and arrow, and on the end of that arrow is like a bomb, and it has a fuse, and it's lit, and just right across that bomb, gospel. And if we pull it back, and we pull that gospel back in meekness and love, and just release it, I don't care. It can blow up the hardest of hearts, can it? I mean, there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing we do. I can't save anybody, but we can lead them to Christ. We can share with them and invite them and tell them the message. The singing has already thrilled my soul and my heart, because I love that song. I love to tell the story. And that's basically what I want to do now, is try. That's what I'm trying to do, is to tell the story of Jesus and his love. You know, salvation, you think of that word. What is it? Redemption of man. Salvation, what does it mean? From the bondage of sin, the act of saving. Saving. You hear heroic stories, don't you? From Hurricane Irma, from Hurricane Harvey, from we just remembered 9/11. Thank God for all of those who have served in the military and those first responders. But you think, I never will forget when I remember where I was. And I haven't had a television for 20-some years, But I remember seeing that picture of 9/11 when they were jumping out of those towers. Did you see that? Maybe some of you were able to catch it, maybe at a restaurant while you were working. I don't know what you were doing, but they were jumping out of the fire, jumping out. And some were performing heroic acts of helping people to be saved. But I'm not talking about so much that. I'm talking about your eternal salvation, eternal soul, spiritual salvation. You know, some people say, well, I was saved. I was saved in Vietnam. I was in the foxhole, Brother George, and the bullets were coming over. And I prayed. I said, God, save me out of this circumstance. But see, they weren't asking God to save them from their sin and the penalty of sin. So, you know what? There was a false hope of salvation. But when we have salvation, we do have the victory. I want to give you some verses. Why don't we go to Romans 10:10 while you're there in the book of Romans. Romans 10:10, the Bible says this, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation." In salvation. Look at verse 13, please. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Praise the Lord. If you're here and maybe you're just a little lad or a little young lady and you've never been saved, and you can understand this about how what we're talking about today, you can be saved today. I like that movie, Sheffy. Have you ever seen that movie, Sheffy? And the young man came forward to the old preacher, and he had the Bible. Remember, he had the little blood where they had mocked him and they'd thrown the corn cobs at him. And Sheffy said, "I just had to hear you out." And he says, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And he showed him the Word of God. And he said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the old preacher said, "You can be saved, Brother Sheffy. Sheffy, you can be saved." And he said, "Can I be saved now?" He said, and I like those final words, and I may be paraphrasing just a little bit, but he says, "You can be saved now." Amen. The preacher said, "You can be saved now." What a blessing to know that you can be saved. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So there's a simple message of salvation. This gospel is good news. Good news. And when you think of missions, missionaries, when they go, and whether they're here or planting a church or they're overseas or wherever they may be, they're going to tell the story. They're going to tell the good news, to evangelize. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Yes, sir. How shall they call unless they hear? And so we have the good news. I want to talk about that salvation, that good news. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want you to read with me in verses 9 and 10. You just follow along as I read. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to repent it of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Oh, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation."
Yes, sir.
And so when we turn to God and turn from our sin and we realize that we are sinners and that we're in need of a Savior, you see, we can be saved. We can understand that and we can accept what God offers. And we'll talk about it in just a minute. As I was going to the hotel room last night, there was a young man there and he was right at the threshold of the door. and he was probably 18, 19, 20 years old, and he had a skateboard, and I gave a track to him, and he didn't want to take it, and I kind of pushed it towards him, and I said, "It's free. You can have this. It'll tell you about Jesus." And he was evidently, it was so sad because he was on some kind of drugs or whatever and just oblivious. And he looked up and he said, "What color are your eyes? Are they blue?" And out of the blue. And I said, "No, they're not blue. They're green." And so he took that track and he just pushed it a little further. But you know what? That's sad. It breaks our heart that people want to push it away. And Satan does have a stronghold on this world today, doesn't he? And people need Jesus. If they ever need Jesus, they need it now. Yes, and so my heart broke, and he really wasn't even in a state of mind to hear. "The thief cometh not, but for to kill, steal, and to destroy." But I'm hoping and praying. He wasn't there when I woke up this morning, but I'm hoping and praying. He took that gospel good news of Riverview Baptist Church, and he read it, and he found out the good news of salvation is my prayer and my hope. People need the Lord. The drunk on the street needs the Lord. Hey, the king in the palaces needs the Lord. Everybody needs to be saved. Hey, the young person needs to be saved. The older person needs to be saved. And everybody in between, you see, they need that salvation. Over in 2 Timothy 2:10. 2 Timothy 2:10, chapter 2, verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We're over here not too far from Peter, so go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says this: "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Verse 9, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Yes. The salvation of your souls. And then in 2 Timothy, you're right there. Let's go ahead and read verses 18 and 19 in 1 Peter. 18 and 19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So it's through the blood, you see. While you're there, you're not too far. Back up to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Still talking about this salvation. Ephesians 1, 13. Ephesians 1, 13, the Bible says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." I was speaking to George right before, Brother George, right before the service, and he was telling me about how that when you're witnessing, and even in your fellowship one with another, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells in you, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you've got Him in you. Praise God. And that fellowship is so sweet.
Yes.
And now in Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Go over to Colossians. You're not too far. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Friends, I'm thankful today for the blood of Christ.
Yes.
I'm thankful for a church that preaches and sings out of the hymn book about the blood of Christ. You cannot take the blood of Christ away from salvation. Now, there are some that teach that Jesus just had to die and the blood wasn't necessary. But friends, not only was it necessary for Jesus to die, but how he died. He died on an old rugged cross and he shed his precious blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And it was not like any blood. It was God's blood. Amen. And you remember back in Egypt how the death angel was coming and they put the blood over the doorpost. And he says, when I see the blood, I'll pass by. Yeah. And friends, thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus did die and he did hang his head and he was buried and he rose again the third day. But he just didn't die of a heart attack. He just didn't die by drowning. No, he died on a cross and he shed his blood for others that we might be saved and raised up from the dead. I'm thankful for the blood. Now, in a nutshell, what is salvation? What is salvation? Just quickly, three things I'd like to mention. Salvation is a free gift. Number one, salvation is a free gift. Romans 6:23, you should highlight that in your Bible. I'll just quote it for you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what is a gift? It's amazing that a lot of people don't realize what a gift is. It's nothing that you can... Is it something that you can work for? If you could work for it, then it's not a free gift. Your pastor, I know, has preached this. You're talking right down his line. But if you can work for it, then it's not free. And I'm thankful that Jesus paid the price with his own blood for the gift of salvation. And it's free to us. Amen. Redemption is free. It cost the Lord his life. And he laid his life down for you and me. But it's free. It's a free gift. It's amazing how you can talk to adults and say, what is a gift? And do you think you can work your way to heaven? Friends, a lot of people, a lot of so-called mature, grown they may even go to church. They may even say they believe the Bible. But they still believe, sadly, they believe that you have to do something to earn your way to heaven. And friends, that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
Baptism will not wash your sins away. Coming to church won't wash your sins away. Putting money in the offering plate, all of those things are good and they're biblical. But hey, putting money in the offering plate will not get you that closer to heaven. You need to be saved. You need the gift of salvation. You need to have your sins washed away.
Yes.
A lot of people are trying to endure to the end. They're trying to be one of the 144,000 that can inherit the earth. Why would you want to inherit the earth? Man, I want a home in heaven. Amen. I don't want anything to do with this earth. But salvation is a free gift, and if you'll just receive it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, if you'll just receive it. When I was 10 years old, I just, in childlike faith, received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my substitute. So number one, salvation is a free gift. Number two, it's through the blood.
Yes.
It's through the blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll go there please, talking about what salvation is. It's through the blood that we're saved. In Hebrews 9, in verse 12 through 14, neither by the blood of goats and calves but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
Brother George, you were talking how you got saved and how your family couldn't believe it. And I have a dear man in our church, and I don't know what you call him, an Indian or Native American or whatever. My wife has, she's part Cherokee, actually. But this man, he was married to Tanya. His name was Alex, and he had long, flowing black hair. He was a Native American, and he visited our church. And his wife went to the altar. Thank God for the altar. Amen. And his wife was praying for her husband. And we as a church, hey, prayer works. Yeah. Prayer works. And we started praying for Alex. We went out on soul winning visitation. This wasn't too long ago. And she kept coming to the altar. She kept praying for her husband. Went out on soul winning visitation. He works for an apartment complex. He does air conditioning and refrigeration. Thank God for him. Just a common man. Long flowing black hair. Native American. Two little children. We witnessed to him about Christ. About heaven. About hell. About how Jesus loved him. Yeah. And took his place. And he rejected. Didn't want anything to do with it. We kept praying. And she kept praying, and they kept coming to church. Praise God, they kept coming to church. Long, flowing black hair. Native American, real nice man, hard-working man. He was just without Christ. It's what we called, you're lost. You're without salvation. You're not saved. And so we went back. Preacher went back about a month later, and God had begun to work. And his uncle had died tragically. There's power in prayer. Yeah. And his dear wife was praying for him. I'd go down there, Miss Kathy would go down there and pray with her about her husband, Alex. This was the second visit in their home. We took another young lady and my dear wife, they were there. And we're sitting, you've heard the story from your pastor, I'm sure. And we're witnessing in the little bitty living room they have. And about the time we started talking about the blood of Christ and we started talking about salvation and Alex, God loves you and we're here and we want you to have your name written down in glory, want you to be saved. Alex, about that time, their two children went berserk. Literally berserk. Have you ever heard the old statement, the cat crawls up the wall and the phone rings and I had a little child behind me and he was pulling at the wall and behind me in the couch and I'm sitting here trying to witness to Alex and I came down to the point, I said, Alex, don't you want to be saved? And it was like a battle. You're talking about a battle. You're talking about building and battling. I'm so thankful to say that Alex said, yeah, I need to get saved. And he got saved. Praise God, he accepted Christ the old-fashioned way, the Bible way. Simple faith. Like you said, brother, in Christ alone. Yeah. He trusted Christ. You know what? He came to church the next day, the next week, and all of his hair was gone, except for a haircut, you know, about like Mr. George's back here. And I didn't even tell him. I didn't even say anything. And you know, the man's coming to church now. He wears a suit. Praise God. Hey, the suit doesn't sell you, save you. But you know what? He comes to church and he goes to the altar now with his wife. Amen. Now he's serving Christ. Now he's vacuuming the church. Now he's ushering and receiving the offering. And you know what? God can totally change a person with salvation. It's a free gift. It's through the blood. And number three, it's available.
Yes.
Salvation is available today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:15. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, verse 16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For whosoever, hey, and that means you, right? Yes. For whosoever, it's available to you. Hey, young people, look up here. Young boys and girls and teenagers, if you're not saved, I want you to know salvation is available for you today. This is the day of your salvation. Sunday, the 17th of September, right? 2017. You can walk out of these doors with Jesus Christ in your life.
Amen.
Praise God. Hey, and if you're already saved, get on fire for the Lord and help somebody else to get saved.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. I remember, Pastor, when you were talking about the day you came and you were backslidden. Guess what? When I went into the Army at age 18, I was backslidden. And I got around the wrong crowd. And I got away from the Lord. I was saved at 10, but went in the Army and I got backslidden. I'll never forget when your pastor came to the altar. I remember it to this day. And he came and he got right with God. And he confessed. And not only did that, he forsook his sin, like it says in Proverbs, he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy. And you know what? Your pastor found mercy. Guess what? God got a hold of my heart while I was in the Army. I was saved, but I was backslidden, and I got right with God. And God used me. And now He uses me to help preach this wonderful message of salvation. Yeah. Salvation is a free gift. It's through the blood and it's available. Real quick, what salvation is not, and I'll just give you these. It's not turning over a new leaf.
Yes, sir.
There's a church right up the street from us, says the Turning Leaf Church. You don't turn over a new leaf. Well, I'm trying to be good and I'm going to keep the golden rule and all of that. Friends, that won't get you that closer to heaven. It's not turning over a new leaf. And salvation is not by works, number two. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. And I preach this, it's not popular. It's not too popular. It's not popular in Glendale. And it's not popular in Green Bay and the surrounding communities. But I'm going to tell you anyway, salvation, number three, is not in religion. Being a Baptist won't save you. Being a Catholic won't save you. Being a Lutheran won't save you. Being a good Methodist won't save you. Friends, you need a relationship. Amen. You need a Savior today, and He wants to save you. Salvation is not turning over a new leaf. It's not by works. It's not by religion. And I want to tell you, it's not doing. It's not in doing. I've asked people, I know you have too, Pastor. Are you 100% sure if you died, you go to heaven? They say, I hope so. Or I'm working at it. Well, how much do you have to do? How much work? Where's the cutoff? And then why did Jesus shed His blood? I've had people where the light bulb, I've told people that, and the light bulb came on and they said, I never thought of that. But it's true, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
When He hung His head on the cross, He said, it's finished.
Yes, sir.
It is finished. It's done. Hey, it was such a powerful testimony. Hey, Jesus Christ, when you think of all He did, and that thief looked over and said, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. One received, one rejected, and one repented, one trusted Christ. Oh, and salvation is not turning over a new leaf, or not by works. It's not religion. It's not doing. Last of all, it's not anything but believing alone, trusting in Jesus Christ. And friends, if you think about it, for all of you soul winners out there, that knocks religion square in the head. Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's not in anything but Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Yes.
Oh, friends, today we could read, I'm a little late, but we could read in Romans 3, 19 through 28. And it's an indictment on all mankind. Really, if you read Romans 3, you'll see that you are a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we've all said things that we shouldn't have said. We've all done things that we shouldn't have done. We've all thought things. And our heart is desperately wicked. But I'm glad that Jesus loves sinners like you and like me. And I took something from George Mueller. He was a great prayer warrior. And when the little kids came in to his orphanages over there in England, he would always say to them, he'd bring the little kids. Some of them were bad little kids. And you know what? When I was a little kid, I was bad. And I knew it. But I just needed Jesus. But he would always love on them, George Mueller. And he would say, I want you to know that I love you. And I love you so very much. And people are praying for you. And from the depths of my heart, George Mueller would tell those little kids, those little orphans, from the depths of my heart, I want you to be in heaven with me. And he would tell them how wonderful heaven was and how happy a place heaven would be. You see, a lot of them didn't have a very good background at all. And they were just orphans. They didn't have much. And so he would tell them how heaven was. But he said, the problem is, no one can go to heaven like they are. You just can't go because you're lost and you're poor and you're a guilty sinner. And then he would tell them, we need a Savior. And that Savior died on the cross for your sins. And there is a Savior. And the only way is to put one's trust in the sweet Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And thousands, hundreds of those little kids got saved.
Yes.
And you know what? You can get saved today, right now. You say, what's that have to do with missions? I think this would be a great victory this week if just one got saved. Amen. It would be a great start to a full year of giving the good news, not only evangelizing in this church and around this area, but around the world. And so salvation is what people need. It's the great need of the day. It really is.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.